Amen. Amen. When you're praying for healing from your sick bed, it kind of implies that everything is not okay. Sometimes when things haven't been okay for a long time, we get tired. You watch the endless cycle of wearisome news, and you end up getting kind of weary, don't you? Whether it's the virus, whether it's the economy, whether it's now the racial tensions, and you get like, oh, and you're just tired. And not only is it the news cycle, it's all the unknowns in your life. It's wearisome. Your plans keep changing. It's always, you can never just settle into a rhythm because the world keeps changing, and you're just, it just is like exhausting, just wearisome. You might use the term scary tired sometimes, stupid tired sometimes. It's just tiring. Sometimes because of the social distancing, because of the stay-at-home order, and it's been so long since you've seen anybody in person, you can feel utterly exhausted. You can feel exhausted. Think of exhaust coming out of a car, like exhaust, like when there's no more gas and everything is exhausted and the tank is completely empty. I'm saying some of you are tired. And some of that is because of just how uncontrollable and how broken the world is. Some of it is because we feel so very terribly isolated and alone. And we wouldn't say this, but like God has left us for dead. And we're tired. Scary tired. And for some of us, I mean, this has really, all the stress and fatigue and wearisomeness of this whole season has kind of reminded us or brought back some of our fears or worries that we had before this. I've got to mess up and go behind this for a second. Sorry about that. And it reminds us again and again, because we're so alone and because we have so much time to think and because the world is so stressful anyway, it reminds us of things that we did. I'm going to make a big D for did. Things we said and things we took. And we can make a list of things we did that we wish we shouldn't have did. We can make a list of things we said that we really, really, really wish we could take back. We can make a list of things we took that we really, really wish we wouldn't have taken. And we can replay those things over and over and over and over in our minds. And it's worse right now because we're so alone and we're so tired and we're so stressed out and our minds kind of goes back to this stuff and we're tired. And I have this morning from Acts chapter 3 a strong dose of hope. So if you're with me in Acts chapter 3, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. He followed Jesus all around northern Israel and Galilee and followed him down to Jerusalem, saw him die. The resurrected Christ appears to Peter, encourages Peter, and then Peter becomes the spokesman for the church, as Jesus said he would. He said, Peter, when you've recovered your faith, when you come back, strengthen your brothers. And so Peter does that, and he's the spokesman for the church. And in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit descends on the church from the resurrected Christ. And so Peter gets up and Peter preaches. And now we're in Acts chapter 3. And Peter goes up to the temple. And this is a picture of what the Temple Mount would have looked like back then. And there's a beggar who's been lame from birth being carried to his spot. And his spot is the gate called Beautiful, which is also the Golden Gate, or Shushan Gate, I believe. And it's right there. This is where the ESV Study Bible puts it anyway, right there. And Peter sees him and he sees Peter and he says, alms or alms for the poor, whatever he says, he's asking for help. And Peter says, look at me. Peter says, I don't have any money, but I'll give you what I do have. Rise up and walk. And Peter takes him by the hand, the right hand, and pulls him up. And old boy stands up, and his ankles are strong, and his legs are strong, and he runs around rejoicing. And this causes a scene. This causes a scene because everyone's like, hey, that's the guy that always sits at the beautiful gate. Hey, that's the guy, I know where he always sits. And it's like this crazy thing. Like, everyone's like, hey, Fred's walking. Like, I've just picked Fred out of the top of my head, you know. Like, I can't believe it. He's walking. He always sits over there. And so they run up onto Solomon's porch. And this is where, you know, Jesus taught here too. And Peter taught here. And a great place to teach would have been closer to the shade. If there's western, the sun sets in the west, there would be shade there. You can kind of see some of the shading in that corner, in the bottom middle. And so it would be a place of congregation. And so Peter gets up and Peter teaches. And here's the thing that Peter tells them. He says, look, all of you are pretty amazed that our boy is walking again. Or walking for the first time, I guess. He says, don't think that that's because we're wonderful or because of our godliness. Don't think that we have special superpowers. He says, what you need to do is give all the credit to Jesus, the resurrected Christ, for healing this man. And I just want to drive the point home. He says, this is the Jesus that verse 13, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. He's like, guys, remember? Remember when we stood before Pilate and you chanted for his death? And Pilate said, okay, how about Barabbas? And you said, no. No, we want Barabbas to be released and we want Jesus to die. Do you remember that? He's like, you did that. Not a way to win friends, like point out their faults. But this is what Peter is doing because they need to repent. They need to own their part. They need to own their sin. They need to say, I was wrong. So he says, verse 14, you denied, like you did this. You denied the holy and righteous one, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And in his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So he says, guys, this is what you need to do. He says, you need to repent. So verse 19, he says, repent therefore and turn back. Turn back and repent are same way of saying the same thing. It's the same idea. Saying, I was wrong. God is right. So I'm going to stop being wrong. I'm going to stop sinning. And I'm going to follow Christ. I was anti-Jesus, or I pretended I didn't know about Jesus, or I was headed in the wrong direction. Now I'm going to submit to Jesus with everything. This is an ancient and biblical theme. Some of you remember when I was preaching through the prophet Jeremiah, we use this graphic a lot. That Jeremiah was asking them to turn back. The same idea. And these were going to be hard changes. Changes that you knew you should make, but you really didn't want to make, and so you never got around to actually making them. That's repentance. That's the changes Peter is calling for here. You got to admit you were wrong about Jesus. Now admit that you're right about Jesus. Now believe, turn, and be right about Jesus by embracing him as Lord. All the way to 10, Lord. So he says there's three benefits for repentance. So there's three benefits for turning to Jesus. Let's walk through these. And this is where the courage comes from for tired, weary souls. Turn to Jesus. Repent, therefore. Turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Remember the stuff that you did that keeps haunting you. Remember the stuff that you said that you keep replaying in your mind, wishing you could take those words back. Remember the stuff that you took that you really shouldn't have taken. Your sins may be blotted out when you turn to Jesus. That stuff that keeps haunting you, the stuff that burns you out as you think about it over and over and replay it again and again, that can be blotted out. Now, what does blotted out mean? Ancient writing was on papyrus, and the ink used on it had no acid in it. Therefore, it did not bite into the papyrus as modern ink does. It simply lay upon the top, and you probably had to wait for it to dry for a long time. I can imagine you like blowing at it, you know, turning the, rolling up the scroll again and being mad. It simply lay upon the top of it. To erase the writing, a man simply had to take a wet sponge and simply wipe it away. Just so, when God forgives sins, he wipes the slate clean. For those of you who are burned out because you're replaying in your mind the stuff you did that you wish you hadn't done, turn to Jesus and it will be blotted out. It will be wiped clean. For those of you who are replaying in your mind the stuff you said that you wish you hadn't said, turn to Jesus and it will be blotted out. Your slate will be wiped clean. When you're replaying in your mind the stuff you took that you wish you hadn't taken, turn to Jesus and your sins will be blotted out. Benefit number one for turning to Jesus, your sins will be blotted out. Benefit number two, that times of refreshing may come. Now, where does the times of refreshing come from? Well, a lot of it is knowing that your sins are forgiven. But that's not all of it. It keeps getting better. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Well, this is exactly what Peter promised when he was preaching his sermon from Pentecost on Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said, "Repent, therefore, and you will receive the promise." Well, what is the promise? The promise of the Holy Spirit. So if you turn back in your Bibles, back to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, here's how the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so for people who are burned out, for people who are utterly exhausted and empty, for people who are tired of being alone, for people who are wondering if God loves them, Peter says, here's what you need to do. You need to turn to Jesus, and he will blot out your sins, and then he will refresh you with his very presence. So you will be full of the Holy Spirit. You will be filled with the presence of God himself. And so if it's this good that you're empty, you're exhausted, you feel left for dead by God, and he says, guys, turn to Jesus and you will be full, pour it up, and if there wasn't electronics underneath the stage, I would keep pouring until it overflows. I thought, is this sermon illustration worth that? I think it is, but I don't know if they think it would be. He'll fill you with his presence, okay? You're tired, you feel left for dead by God. You have not been left for dead by God. He lives in you. Third benefit, and that he may send the Christ, the coming King, appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive. In other words, Jesus is still in heaven, whom heaven must receive until the time for. So he's going to stay in heaven until he restores all things, about which God spoke by his mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So God has been talking about the restoration of all things for a long time. And it will all come true in Jesus. And this is the point of this miracle. Remember when I preached on Pentecost and the miracle of Pentecost, we talked about how what God could have done was made Peter really tall to prove his point. Remember we talked about that? How Peter could have been made 100 feet tall, and then Peter could have been made really small. Or Peter could have said, you know, here's John here with me. Watch this. I'm going to turn him bright yellow and zapped him and turned him bright yellow and said, what other color? And got a color from the red. Okay, kazap. And then he's red. And then, okay, what color now? And then he'd give him the different. Well, he didn't do that. The miracles are teaching tools. So here's a guy that's been lame from birth, who hasn't been able to walk from birth. Here's a guy who's a beggar, who has nothing to offer. Here's a guy who's being carried by other people. Here's a guy who is only in need, but knows he's in need, and asks for help. And Peter says, I've got better news than you know. And he raises him, restoring strength to his entire body so that his ankles and his legs are strong and work, and he runs around leaping for joy. And the teaching point is that is what God will do for all of creation. What God did for this man is what he will do for you. It proves that what he did for Jesus, as Jesus went into the ground, dead, a corpse, but came out of the ground, living and powerful and glorified. That is what God will do for us. And this miracle proves it, and this miracle demonstrates it, and this miracle teaches it. For weary, tired souls who've been watching the news and trying to remake plans again and again and again, remember to turn to Jesus, because he will restore all things. This is true of our physical bodies. My dad was telling me about a funeral he did where he had two tables. And on one table, he had a Bible and he had stuff that symbolized togetherness, friendship. And then on the other table, he had like a walker and stuff for diabetes medicine and medicine. And he asked the family, what's the difference between these two tables? And they came up with a bunch of different answers. And after they'd wrestled with it for a while, my dad says, this table here is not going to heaven with you. The word of God endures forever. You'll have that in heaven. You'll have loved ones in heaven. The frailties and brokenness of this world is not going with you. The coronavirus is not coming with us to heaven. These masks that we hate, they're not going with us to heaven. The racial tension is not going with us to heaven. He will make all things new. He will restore all things. So what should we do? We should turn to Jesus. That's what we should do. We should turn to Jesus. And how would you know if you're turning to Jesus this week? Or how would you know if you're not turning to Jesus this week? How would you know? Like in your life, how would you know? Well, if you find yourself obsessing about things you've done, about things you've said, or about things you've taken, if you find yourself coming back to that over and over and again and again and again, that you know that you are not turning to Jesus. You know you're obsessing over your sin and living in condemnation rather than salvation. You know that you're not exalting in the shed blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sins. You know you're getting it wrong if you're obsessing over this stuff over and over and over again all day long, all day long. So here's what I offer you to do to help you live and experience this truth. I ask you to reread that, Acts chapter 3. Turn to Jesus as Lord. Lord, you are Lord of this. I am wrong. You are right. And then maybe write them down. And blot them out. blot them out because they're blotted out by the shed blood of Christ. And tell yourself, my sins have been blotted out by the shed blood of Jesus. You might write them on a piece of paper and erase them, or you might write them on the, even better, write them on the sidewalk with sidewalk chalk, and then, boy, that really washes off good. You don't even know that was there. How would you know? Well, you might know that you're not getting this quite right if you are going over and over and over again in your mind how God has left you for dead. And it might be that every time you fill something up this week, you think about how God has filled you with His Holy Spirit because you've turned to Jesus. And every time you fill something up, you remember that He is with you, He is with you, He is with you, He is with you. It might be that this week, as you go through life and you remember and you're forced to see again how broken everything is, how broken everything is, how broken everything is, that you say in defiance, it will not always be this way. I've turned to Jesus, He will restore all things. I've turned to Jesus, He will restore all things. This is who we want to be as a people. We want to be people who live with courageous hope. We want to be people who live filled with God's presence and power. We want to be people who live with a clear conscience. In the joyful knowledge that our sins have been blotted out. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word, how it meets us where we are. Lord, I pray that You would pull us each closer to Yourself this week. Lord, if we need to remember that our sins have been blotted out, I pray that You would meet us with that knowledge again and again. If we need to remember that You are with us, that You have not left us, but that You are with us, Lord, meet us with that again and again. Lord, if we need to remember that evil and hate and corruption does not win, but in the end, You will redeem and restore all things, Lord, meet us with that hope again and again. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we would love for you to come outside and sing with us. And so we are going to meet out in front of the church where you saw the red banner where the PA system is already set up. And so you can go out this door if you'd like to, or you can go out this door, or you can go up the back steps. But we'll see you out front, and we'll do one last closing song as loud as we can. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art with our masks off. And then we'll give you the closing blessing and we'll go. So we'll see you upstairs.